Hey, can we do this before we even dive into the sermon message? Would you stand up with me for a minute? Just kind of had a sense that the Lord wanted to encourage us in a couple areas. Here's a question for us, just for a moment here, is like, where does our sense of value and identity come from? I have tons of conversations with people all week long, and oftentimes one of the things that I find a big part of what I'm talking about with people is just where their identity comes from and where their sense of value comes from. Because it's really easy to get caught up in our culture thinking that our value comes from what we do and who we know and all those type of things. But one thing that we see in the Bible consistently is that our sense of value and identity comes from Jesus. And so I just want to pray for all of us right now. In fact, you can just close your eyes in the room if it would be helpful for you. But I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and be present. And Holy Spirit, come. And I'm asking right now for your presence to help anybody in this room that has a sense or a feeling or just believe that their sense of identity and their value comes from what they do or what they have done or who they know. Lord, I just pray that that the emptiness that can be found in that worldview would be removed in the name of Jesus, and that everybody in this room would know that their sense of identity and value comes from being deeply, deeply, deeply loved by the Father. I pray that everybody in this room would have a sense that their identity and their value comes from being created in God's image, and that our sense of identity and value comes from our relationship with you. And I pray now, Lord, that we would not get distracted in believing that doing stuff for God is the same as having a relationship with God. And so we thank you that our sense of identity comes from Jesus. And as a church, our identity is rooted in the King and his kingdom. And so if there's anybody in this room right now that's struggling with the sense of identity or feeling like they aren't valued, would you please help them to see themselves the way that you see them? And to help them to know that they are deeply, deeply loved. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I was just thinking, you know, Wes had said, we like to think of ourselves as family because that's what we talk a lot about as a church. And he said, if you don't feel that way, talk to him. I would like you to talk to him if you do not feel that way. But because that might be an awkward conversation, like, hey, I'm not feeling like family. But it's actually important that we have those conversations, right? Like, we need to have the type of culture where we can be honest about how well we're feeling connected. And I think sometimes our lack of connection comes from maybe being mistaken to think that our identity comes from what we do for a church or do in the church. And that's not how our identity is formed. Amen? Like, our identity actually comes from our relationship with God and our relationship to God through Jesus. So kind of a different way of looking at it, but I think value and identity is pretty important. In fact, you know, like I was hinting at, I mean, I just have conversations with people all the time where as I'm listening to them share their stories, what I'm hearing them tell me is that their identity in their mind comes from like what they do or what they don't do. And I always want to pause and say, hey, I mean, because just think about that for a minute. There's nobody in this room that does enough, right? I mean, just reality is there's so many different things around us that we could be caught up in, but there's not enough we can do. There's too much stuff to do. So if our identities are based off of what we do, we're kind of screwed. Do you realize that? Like, we're never ever going to be able to do enough. The beauty of the kingdom is that our identity is rooted in Jesus. Like, that's actually how we have identity and value, is through our relationship with God. And that, I think, is a fundamental difference than maybe some people think about church. And so this is what I want to do this morning. First of all, how are you guys doing? Yeah? It's the 11 o'clock service. It's good to see you. You have had breakfast. You have had 18 cups of coffee. I know you're ready to go, all right? Maybe, maybe not. No? A couple of you had not as many cups of coffee as me. I had 2 rock stars this morning, so I'm just going to let you know I'm ready to go. Yes. So anyway, I want to do this morning. I want to do this. I want to spend a little bit of time actually looking under the hood of our church. I want to actually lift the hood up, and I want to look at the engine of our church and talk a little bit about how and why we do certain things within our church culture and our church context to kind of just help you understand why you may love the Vineyard, or maybe to explain why you may find the Vineyard super frustrating, okay? Because I think those are two equally realistic types of explanations for a church. I mean, is there anybody else in here who would say, like, sometimes church can be both really exciting but also can be kind of frustrating? Is it just me? Yeah? Okay, a couple of you. Thank you for the honest folks in this room. The rest of you are liars. You are lying, right? But church can be so difficult sometimes. It can be really difficult. It can be really challenging. And I want to walk us through a little bit of why I think that is. And so Jen talked about, and Wes talked about, how our mission here at the Vineyard is not our mission. It wasn't like we sat around one day and we're like, hey, we need to figure out a really good mission that we can cast vision for. And so let's figure out what we want to see happen in the Vineyard. That's not how we go about our mission. What we actually do is we spend time in Scripture. We look at church history. We consider the theological implications of what the Bible teaches us. And what we are trying to do here at the Vineyard is we're actually trying to partner with God in His mission. And that's a fundamental difference in the way we think about mission. It's not us coming up with really cool things and really cool slogans to do. We actually want to partner with God in the city of Red Bluff so we can accomplish all the things that He is doing in our city, because He loves the city of Red Bluff. And so we've already said multiple times that our mission, if it's anything, is about knowing Jesus and making Him known. That's right. You're like, known. Yes, we hear about it all the time. Yes! You hear about it all the time. You want to know why? Because I want us to know what our mission is, right? Our mission is about knowing Jesus and making Him known. That is what we're about here at the Vineyard. And so if we just think about that mission for a few minutes here, and we're again going to go, we're going to lift the hood, and we're going to stare at the engine, we're going to look at how it works and why it works this morning. But what we can start with is this, is our mission has an emphasis on discipleship. There's an emphasis in our model of doing church, so to speak, that emphasizes discipleship. It's about growing in our relationship with Jesus. It's about knowing Him. The beautiful thing about the Christian faith, in my opinion, is that you never ever like ascend to the highest heights of spirituality where you no longer have anywhere to grow. Like, everybody who's on earth right now is constantly growing in their relationship with Jesus, or should be moving in a direction of growth. Does that make sense? Like, there are no rock star, hero, superstars in the Vineyard. Mostly because there aren't. But secondarily, we don't think of our spirituality that way. We're not thinking like, hey, so-and-so is superstar Christian, and then there's the rest of us. That's just never been the way that we function as a church in all of our history. And so we have a discipleship emphasis on knowing Jesus, but I think what's also important is that we understand that our mission is carried out in community. Our mission is carried out in community. It's as we gather together that we're able to accomplish the purposes and the goals and the things that God is doing in our community. And I just want us to stop for 1 minute here and think about God and His heart for the city of Red Bluff. Now, I've been here for 14 months now, and I can say without a shadow of a doubt now that Red Bluff has become my home. Yesterday, as I was sitting on a river fly fishing, I was thinking about how that's true. Like, I love our city now. I love Northern California. I am excited about the fact that God actually deeply cares about the city of Red Bluff. He actually loves this place. And He loves your neighbors. He loves the people that you want to punch in the face that live across the street. He loves everybody. He actually has a desire to have relationship with everybody in our community. Like, He has a mission here in our city. But our mission that we're trying to join, which is God's mission, we're not going to be able to accomplish the mission of extending God's kingdom if we don't work together. We actually have to work together in community to carry out God's mission, right? We have to actually work together to do that. So our mission is carried out in community. We get to do this together. Together is the context in which we both carry out God's mission, but it's also the context in which we grow. If you want to grow spiritually, if that's a desire that you have, you cannot do that in isolation. That is just a fact of Scripture, and it's a fact of experience and history, is that the way that we grow spiritually is in the context of with one another. And that's why I think church, the community of God's kingdom, matters. I think that it's the context that God grows us into. I want us to look at a Scripture here. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus has a powerful statement about the power of community. He says this. He says, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." Now, just for a minute, think about how powerful of a statement that is. Jesus says that anytime two or three of His followers gather together, He promises that he will actually be present with those people who gather together. Now, in my mind, in my thinking, that is one of the reasons why gathering together is so important, because as we gather together, Jesus has promised to be present with us. And so if we want to accomplish our mission, and we also want to grow spiritually in our own personal lives, there has to be a community sense to accomplish that purpose. And so this is what Tim Chester says in relation to the idea of community for a minute here. He says, our identity as human beings is found in community. And I think it's in a sense what we just talked about, how we sometimes actually need to gather together and we need to hear the truth of who we actually are from the people around us that care for us deeply. Because it's really easy to get caught up in trying to earn our reputation. Does that make sense? Like, right, we do things in our lives to actually gain a sense of value and a sense of identity, but it's within community, when it's shaped by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that we can actually have truth reflect us and shape us and help us to see who we actually are. We are not what we do. We are who we are based off of our relationship with Jesus. So he says, our identity as human beings is found in community. Our identity as Christians is found in Christ's new community. And our mission takes place through communities of light. And so Tim Chester makes it really clear here in my mind that mission and discipleship are a community-orientated task, that it can't be carried out unless we're in community. And so let's just for a minute here, I want to dive into this concept of discipleship just a little bit more, and then we're going to open up the hood and we're going to talk about how we do church here at the Vineyard. But this is my working definition of discipleship, and I've been working a definition of discipleship for the last like 5 years, trying to pin it down, but this is how I understand it. Discipleship is the process and journey of following King Jesus together and embracing the values and reality of the kingdom. Discipleship is a process and a journey. Discipleship is not a one-time event. It's not something where we cross a finish line, but discipleship, which is really about a relationship with Jesus, actually is a process, and it takes place in a journey, which is why we have people in this room that are all over the map in their relationship and their spirituality. Like, some people in this room have been Christians for 100 years, literally. I will not name their names, but they have been. And then there's other people in this room who might not be a follower of Jesus at all, and they're just here to kind of explore what it would look like to be a follower of Jesus. And actually here, is there any value in having a relationship with Jesus? There's just a big journey and a big gamut of different spaces that we have here at the Vineyard where people are at different places in the process. But they're on this process and this journey of following Jesus together. I mean, that's what discipleship means. It's a community event, and it's where we embrace the values and reality of the kingdom. And that idea about reality is, I think, important for us here at the Vineyard, because the reality of the kingdom is supposed to be more foundational for who we are than any other type of reality. Like, I just think about that in the space of, like, all of you in this room have different roles in community. Like, some of you are moms, some of you are dads, some of you have jobs where maybe you're a teacher or you're a police officer or whatever it is you do, okay? We all have different roles, and those roles shape our sense of reality, right? But the ultimate reality is the kingdom of God. Our ultimate reality is that we are actually part of his kingdom. We are part of his community. And so I think part of what we do here at the Vineyard, when I think about like one of the things that we're trying to help people grow into, is I think we're trying to help people understand the ultimate reality. Does that make sense? Like, sometimes when people tell me their story, I'm hearing, and what I hear is somebody sharing about how empty they feel, or they feel undervalued, they don't feel loved. Do you know that there's people in the city of Red Bluff, and I would argue that there's probably thousands of people in our city who do not believe that God loves them? They actually don't believe that God loves them because of something they've done in their past, or maybe something that they're doing currently, but they actually believe that God does not love them. I'm here to say that that is not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality of everybody in this room is that you are deeply loved by God, and the Holy Spirit actually is at work in your life, wanting you to have a deeper connection to Jesus. So what we're doing as a church is we're calling people to an ultimate reality. Like your reality in your life might be super frustrating. It might be super, you might feel isolated. You might feel like you've been abandoned. You might feel like you're not loved. But I think we can come along people and say, hey, I totally understand that that's your experience of life right now. But guess what? The ultimate reality is that you are deeply loved. There is a place where you can call home and you have people that care deeply about who you are and where you're going. Amen? Like that's what we do. I think as a church, that's just what we do. We're supposed to be helping people have vision for the ultimate reality that exists. And so what I'm getting at is this question. How do we both engage with Jesus so that our reality is shaped by Jesus, and how do we help others do the same? Like how can we as a church, a community of individuals who gather together, how can we both grow personally and also help other people grow in their relationship with God? That's kind of what I'm getting at here this morning, okay? In other words, I think maybe a better question is, what does discipleship and community look like in the Vineyard? Because it's not for everyone. It is not for everyone. What does it look like to have discipleship and community here in the Vineyard? Now, just pause for a minute. All right, so I'm going to assume that most of you who are here this morning, there's a reason why you came. And it might be not just the coffee. Like, there might be other reasons that brought you here. And some of you, I know I've heard your stories where you say, hey, the first time I came to the Vineyard, I felt like I was home. Or the first time I came to the Vineyard, I felt like somebody actually valued me. Or the first time I came to the Vineyard, I really appreciated ... whether it's the music or the sermons or whatever it is. It's generally not the sermons, but nor is the music. God bless you. But there's something about our community that you might appreciate or you might value or you might want to experience more of, all right? And I think that that's helpful for us. We need to understand, why is it that we do certain things here at the Vineyard? Why is it that we want to create a space that's very intentional toward discipleship and embraces the reality of community? Why is it that way? And then I think at the same time, too, there's certain people that will come to the Vineyard. In fact, it was like a month and a half ago, a person came, and within the first song, they were like, yep, this is not for me. And they left. And I was like, all right, then. And they were like, this is not my kind of music. I did not like slow rock or whatever it was, you know? And I think we want to be a space where people, it's okay, right? Like, it's okay for people to have their own desires and their own way of experiencing things. I think that's okay. Is that okay? If people don't want to come to the Vineyard, it is, right? It's okay. Like, it's okay. We want people to be here because it's actually helping them in their relationship with Jesus. An example of that really quickly is that, so the Vineyard, our musical style, I think we're trying to become not just contemporary, but more integrated. Like, I love hymns. Anybody love hymns in this room? Like, I love them. I love hymns. But at the same time, too, hymns sometimes are hard for some people to connect with. Like, one of my favorite hymns of all time, Come Thou Fount, it talks about raising our Ebenezer. Does anybody in here know what raising your Ebenezer means? No, you're like, Scrooge? No, it's not. It's from the Bible. Okay, it's like we sing these songs and sometimes we're unable to connect with them. So younger generations, generally, younger generation people can connect with more contemporary music. That's just reality. We do want to be a church that is blended in our worship. We're working on that, something that we're trying to develop. However, I think that it's okay for some people to say, you know what, I like hymns. I want to be a church that sings hymns only. Like, I have family members that they would come to our church and they'd be like, ah, that's cool, but I'm going to the church down the road because they sing the four hymns that I like. And that's comfortable for me. Like, I think that's okay. I don't feel like that's a threat to the kingdom of God. You know, it's not a threat to human existence if your grandparents want to go to a church that sings hymns. Amen? Like, it's okay. All right? But we do have a sense of values and a way of doing things here at the Vineyard that we really have bought into on a theoretical level. And I want to talk about that for a little bit. In fact, what I want to do right now is I want to explain to you why some of you will actually be like, that's why I love the Vineyard. And some of you will be like, oh, that's why they do it that way. Like, they do it that way intentionally. Most of the time, it feels like we're flying by the seat of our pants, right? But there's actually intentionality behind some of that. We're trying to trick you, right? No, not really, but there is. There's intentionality with the way that we do church. We actually do church with intentionality. And so here's what I want to do. For a couple minutes here, I want to actually look at three sociological models for community. I want to actually give you some images so you can see why we do certain things the way that we do, and you'll be able to be like, oh, okay, and you can actually explain those to other people too. And so back up. In the 70s, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, his name was? Who was it? John Wimber. Some of you know who that is. John Wimber, he once said that he was just a fat man trying to get to heaven. And that's when I was like, I like that guy. He was just a really practical thinker. He was a really good pastor. He was a church growth expert that worked for Fuller Seminary for a season of time too. And as he was working for Fuller Seminary, he was thinking through, how can we create a community that would actually be more intentional with helping people grow? And so what he did is he studied these sociological models in order to understand the way that people assimilate into community and how they actually feel and experience community in their church. So here's what he does. He says there's three models he builds, and this is in the early Vineyard history. The first one is this, the fuzzy set model. Yes? The parent of Everest. Is there a parent of Everest here? Okay. All right. Let's keep going. All right. You guys good? Yeah, everybody's like, what's going on? All right, come on, focus on here, guys. All right, let's keep going. So fuzzy set model, say fuzzy set model with me. Fuzzy set model, all right. So fuzzy set model, these arrows represent people, all right? And notice how they're going all over the place, all right? And so here's the way that I would describe the fuzzy set model, and this is more of a chaotic church experience, all right? It's anti-authority. There's no leadership, at least there's no functional leadership. Everyone is doing their own thing in this type of church environment. There's no direction, there's no structures. And lastly, hippies love this church model. It is a fact, all right? They are like, hey, every Tuesday, Jerry, our resident hippie, tells me we should have no structure. And I'm just kidding, he doesn't really say that. But the fuzzy set model is a common church concept or way of doing church in smaller churches. In fact, I went to a church like this one time where we would sit in a circle in a room, and everybody would just share as they feel led, and it was really chaotic, and there's no sense of purpose, no sense of mission, no sense of mission at all in this type of gathering. So this is a very common way of doing church, though, with some small groups, okay? So that was the fuzzy set model, and Wimber was like, no, we're not going to do that. That's not how we roll, so to speak. It's just everybody for everybody. The next model is the bounded set model. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit because I'd argue, and I'd venture to guess, that many of us in this room actually were either raised or our church experience was in a bounded set model, okay? The bounded set model is ultimately super controlling, though. That's the type of environment that this type of model creates in certain churches. So the big thing you'll notice is that there's a super dominant leader, all right? It's a very big center. The center of this type of church is the leader. There's also boundaries that are constantly defined and reinforced. People are to be used in order to accomplish goals. So do you see how in this model, people are just a resource? They're not individuals. They don't have opinions. They don't matter at the end of the day. Value and identity in this type of church comes from being in or right. It's always measured in that situation. Relationships are characterized by a parent-child mode of interaction. In other words, the senior leader generally is very controlling, very domineering, and treats people like they're all children, even if they're way older than you, okay? And then finally, evangelism, or sharing one's faith in this system, is all about getting and keeping people. And the only reason why you get and keep people is because you need to keep the organization going. And ultimately, it's all about getting people to behave like the rest of the group and to look like the rest of the group. So this type of model doesn't emphasize or actually allow for diversity. It doesn't encourage it either. So again, that's kind of the bounded set model. So what Wimber did is Wimber looked at these sociological images and he said, well, Fuzzy said is just too chaotic. Okay, and I think that that's probably true for most of us in this room. Like, that sounds kind of crazy. And the bounded set is super controlling, where the assumption is that all of you people who aren't on stage aren't smart enough to know how to follow Jesus. And it's also super controlling, where we give out lists to people and say, do these things, then your identity and value will be encouraged and will be appreciated. And so Wimber said, those two things don't work. Okay, amen? Everybody with me? Like, they are unhealthy. In fact, what they do is they have chaos, they have control, and then ultimately they create a super unhealthy culture within our church where it's really codependent relationships that are existing, okay? And so what he did is he looked at the studies of this sociologist called the centered set model. Now, the centered set model was a little bit different, and what it was is that rather than having strong boundaries on the outside so you can determine who is in and who is out, the focus was on the center. And for us at the Vineyard, our center is Jesus and his kingdom. Jesus and his kingdom is our center. And so the relational environment, though, is different. The way that people integrate into the church community is different than just us versus them. And the way we assess direction is whether you're moving towards Jesus or not. And so these are some of the values that go along with this. The vision and values point to a shared and common center, Jesus. We just said that. Leadership is serving and is a team effort. It is a team effort. There is no one dominant leader within the Vineyard unless her name is Dawn Garrity. All right? And she's not in here, so don't tell her I said that. But she's actually running things. But no, there is no dominant leader. What it is there is a team community of people who are discerning and thinking and praying and reading scripture and trying to determine exactly the direction that the Holy Spirit is leading. The way that we assess and integrate people is it takes place on the basis of people's direction toward the center and allows them the freedom to move at God's pace. Like, the thing that I've learned about people is that sometimes people need to be pushed a little bit. Right? Some of you are like, no. But they do. Sometimes people need to be encouraged. Sometimes people need to also be given space to develop into the place where they feel comfortable with taking steps. And like, it's kind of hard to figure that out, but the thing is, people are people. They're all individuals. You don't have a one-size-fits-all approach to discipleship. So like, this morning, there's a group of us that are in this side room, and we're praying, and we're talking about like how the service is going to go. We're just kind of going over the order of service. And Jen O'Hara is going to get up here after the music, and she's going to kind of help us transition from music into hosting. And I was like, hey, so you're going to pray, right? And she's like, no, I'm not going to pray. I'm not ready for that. Guess what Jen did today? She prayed. You want to know why? Because Wes did a ninja move on her. I don't know what he did, but she's praying up here. I was like, oh, man. I was like, Wes, write down what he did. All right. So the thing is, though, sometimes people need to be kind of encouraged, pushed, pressed, but we also want to have space where people can assimilate into the kingdom on their own pace, or more so on the pace that the Holy Spirit is at work in their life. Like, some people might say, hey, I'm in, I'm going to change everything about my life, I'm selling everything, and I'm moving to Africa to go be a missionary. It's like, awesome. Cool. That's amazing. Some people are like, hey, I'm just going to sit in this back row, not judging you back row people, I'm going to sit in this back row, and I'm going to check things out for a while. And then if it actually starts to connect and I actually feel like this is something I want to be a part of, I'll probably come again. And that's okay. Like, we want to be a culture where we're allowing people the space for them to process in the way that God's at work. Does that make sense? All right, so the assessment is different than the bounded set. People, however, in this model are viewed as individuals, not projects or resources to be used. Like, no one wants to be a project. Right? Amen? Like, no one wants to hear a project, and people don't like to just be a resource to be used and consumed. Relationships in this model are conducted on an adult-to-adult basis. And so the reason why I brought this up, I had this interesting conversation about 5 years ago. This guy called me, and he was like, hey, I'm thinking about leaving our church. It's super controlling, fundamentalist. It's the church I've been in my whole entire life, though, and I just want to talk about, I'm thinking about attending your church. So he called me up. We set up a meeting. I met with him and his wife, and he basically sat down and just wanted to know everything about the Vineyard. So I told him everything I know about the Vineyard. I was like, well, this is what I know. This is our theology. This is our practices, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the conversation, he just basically said, after describing how the previous pastor in his life was super controlling and was super authoritative and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, he said to me, "Listen, Luke, I just have some questions about your style of leadership." I was like, "Well, I can make something up now. What do you want to know?" And he says, "Well, I just want to know if I go to buy a car, if I'm purchasing a car, I want to be able to call you and I want to be able to ask you to tell me what color of car to get." And I was like, "I will never, ever tell you what car to get. Ever. Like, I literally won't. I don't care. Does it drive? Do you have lights on it? You know, I don't have an opinion on that." And the point being is that the type of leadership and spirituality he was in is he wanted someone in a codependent relationship to basically be his God. My whole point was like, the type of church that we are, sir, is that we're going to be a church that's constantly pointing you to Jesus and helping you and encouraging you to grow in your relationship so you can actually discern truth in community for yourself. And that's the type of church that we are. We're that type of church where our relationships are not codependent relationships. We want to be a church where it's adult to adult. Some of you in this room need to be told that you need to grow up. Some of you people in this room need to be explained what it looks like to grow up. I mean, there's all these different things, but it's not healthy just to dictate laws and rules and regulations because it's not coming from the heart then, right? It's not coming from the heart. So people in this are viewed as individuals, not projects or resources, and the relationships are adult to adult. The structures in this type of environment are a relational environment that is flexible and functional. And evangelism here takes place primarily through friendships and relationships. And it's not about trying to get people into the organization because that's the only way the organization is sustained. We actually share our faith in Jesus because we want people to know Jesus. And whether they come to church here or not is not the end point. That's not the goal. The goal is for people all over the city of Red Bluff to love Jesus and to love their community and to be engaged in the work of the kingdom. And if they go to another church, awesome. Good. Are you growing? Are you learning? Are you pressing into the things that Jesus has for you? If you are, then that's amazing and good. And I want to say this too. I've had this conversation with people multiple times where they're like, "Well, Luke, I just can't share my faith like you do. And I can't do it. I don't know what to say." Can I just let you in on a little secret? Most of the people that are in your circles and your sphere of influence, you will be more effective with sharing your faith than I ever would. You want to know why? Because as soon as they start talking to me, they're like, "Well, you're a pastor. That's that, you know, you're a pastor, you're perfect." And I'm like, no. As everybody in our church can confess and acknowledge, I'm not, right? And if you want confirmation, talk to my wife and my five kids. They will clarify exactly that I'm not. So you actually have more effectiveness and more equity with the people that you're in relationship with than other people. And so I would just encourage you that as you're sharing Jesus and sharing and building relationships with people, you can be more effective in this model than in other models. And so all this is to get at is this. Community and discipleship are a huge part of the centered set model. It's just ingrained in who we are. And so the reason why we do certain things here at the Vineyard is because of this. The reason why we answer certain questions in a frustrating manner and not just tell you the answers oftentimes is because of this. We actually want you to grow in your own personal relationship with Jesus, believing that it does happen in community, but it doesn't happen in codependent communities. Amen? It happens in healthy communities of the kingdom. And so here's what I want to do for a couple seconds here. Minutes. 5 to 10. In our community here, you know, we just are trying to create space for discipleship to happen and making sure that it's not in a controlling context. Like at the end of the day, I mean, one of my biggest prayers for our church is that we just would be a healthy church. Like when I get done with, you know, with life and I'm sitting in my, you know, chair as a crotchety old man, just grumpy and, you know, bitter or whatever. Like, I want to look back. Hopefully I'm not bitter, by the way. I just want to let you know, that's not my goal, okay? Yeah, it's like, my goal is to be bitter. No. But as I'm ending my life, I want to look back and say, the church communities that I was a part of, when I was a part of those communities, that health was valued. Like, I don't want us to be a church where we're just all about personalities or we're all about whatever it is. We want to be all about Jesus. That's who we want to be all about. And we want to be a place where people can experience the transformative work of the Holy Spirit, believing and knowing that that happens in community. Like, one of the things I love about community is how hard it is. It is super, super hard to be a church. It's super hard to be a church because whenever you have more than one person, you have more than one opinion, right? But the places where I've grown the most is actually when there is conflict. Like, conflict is a good thing. Conflict actually helps us grow as individuals and as a church. And so we want to be a place where our community embraces discipleship and is always pushing people and encouraging people to move forward. So let's do this. I want to encourage you to close your eyes for a minute. You can just stay seated, close your eyes. I want to I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to do work right now, because I think what he wants to do in some of us is encourage us. I think some of us he wants to challenge. There's a lot of different things that God wants to do in our community right now. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask for you to come right now. We welcome your presence into this room right now, not because you haven't been here, but because we want to acknowledge our need for your presence. And so would you just come right now? Lord, we've already said that we want to be a community that's constantly pointing people to Jesus and the kingdom. We want to be a community that embraces those things, but there is an assumption there that we want to be a community. And there might be people in this room right now, Lord, that really, really struggle with the idea of being in community in a sense that goes beyond maybe the comfort levels that we have. Maybe for some people in this room, the idea of community isn't safe and it isn't encouraging. And it isn't inviting and it isn't welcoming and it isn't helpful. And so, Holy Spirit, we just want to ask for you to come right now and to engage our hearts and our minds and to dialogue with us a little bit about that. And so just everybody with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, just as you're thinking about what this means for your own life. You know, one of the things that happened to me in my life is when I was about 18, 19 years old, I went to a pastor at the church that I was attending, and I shared with him some things about my life that I was really struggling with. I just shared about how I was struggling, and I was asking for prayer, and I was saying that, hey, I need some help with these things. And we had this, I thought it was a really great meeting. And then after that meeting, I found out that he went and told my parents, my grandparents, my cousins, my aunts, uncles, and all these people around me about this stuff that I was struggling with, and it basically caused me to become completely apathetic and cynical about community, because I just felt like, you know what? I took a chance and I got betrayed. And so, some of you in this room, maybe you had something like that happen, where you know community hasn't been a helpful thing for you because you've either been betrayed, or maybe you haven't been in a community of people that actually deeply value you and actually want to see God's best for you. That might be your past. And if it is this morning, what I want to encourage you to think about is how God actually wants to heal that, and he wants to actually empower you to be in community for the good of the kingdom and the good of people. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come right now in any hurts, any experiences that anybody has had in this room where it's made it hard to actually risk and take a step out in faith to be in fellowship, in relationship, in community, Lord, I just pray for your presence right now to bring healing in that area, and that you would actually pique that a little bit and press into it right now, and maybe even help us to identify where it happened at so we can deal with that, God. And I'm going to do this with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed right now. This isn't about your neighbors, really. This is about you. If that's you, if you're here this morning and you know you have maybe a sense of apathy or maybe even a little bit of cynicism about community, and you're struggling to think about community being a place where you can actually grow, or you are here this morning and you're saying, yes, I want more of that. I would like to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in community. If you want prayer for that at all, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to ask you just to stand up right now. I'm just going to pray for everybody that stands up. And so if that's you this morning, you're saying, yes, I need to deal with some of that. I need to press into community. I need some healing. I don't want to be apathetic. I do not want to be cynical. I actually want to really be open to what God wants to do. I just want to pray for you. Again, you can stand with your eyes closed. You don't have to look around. This is not about other people right now. The first thing I want to pray for is I want to pray that God would just bring healing. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come right now? And for those who are standing right now that have maybe just really had a sense of loss or hurt or betrayal or any negative things that have happened in those experiences, God, and that there's a desire right now for your healing presence, would you come right now and would you bring healing? Would you bring freedom from that? Would you right now, God, for each one of these individuals, would you create in them a sense of being loved deeply by you? And Lord, what that means is that when we love you, and when you invite us into your family, we have a place, we belong in community, regardless of whether other people acknowledge that. And so I just pray, Lord, that every one of these individuals, God, that they would know that not only do you love them, but here at the Vineyard, they are welcomed, they are valued, and they are part of our community. I pray just for freedom from anything that has kept them from experiencing that. Anything that's kept them from experiencing your love and your presence and your power. Would you just bring a fresh renewal, Lord? A fresh presence into their life right now. And then I just have a sense that there's a number of you in this room that it's just been a while since you really felt connected to Jesus. It's been a while since you felt like you actually had a relationship with the Lord. I'd love to pray for you too. And so if that's you, if you just feel disconnected and like you're not really sure where you're at with God, I just want to encourage you, just stand right now. I'd love to pray for you as well. If you have any feelings of disconnection and it's been a while since you felt like you and God were good, you and God were on the same page, or more so, maybe you were on God's page. And so, Lord, for each one of these who are standing right now, I pray, God, that you would bring a sense of connection. Lord, I pray that the reality of being connected to you is being connected through Jesus, to Jesus. I pray that every person standing right now would just in their heart right now experience and know and just have an encounter with your love and your sense of value and your grace and your mercy, that they would know that it doesn't matter what they've done in the past, but the past is the past, and the cross of Christ actually supersedes our pasts and supersedes our presence and supersedes our futures. And I pray that the reality of your love would be so deeply ingrained in the hearts and minds of every person in this room, but especially those who are standing right now, that their lives would not be able to be lived without that shaping and forming them. In fact, Lord, as we leave this place, as we've gathered for this last hour and a half, Lord, we now scatter into your community to carry the grace, the mercy, the truth, and the love of Jesus to the world around us. But that is so difficult to do until we have first experienced it. And so I pray now, Lord, for just an experience and an encounter with your love. I pray for each person right now, Lord. And then let's all stand together as we close. And Father, I just pray that as we stand together as a church, as a community of people from all different places, whether it's different ethnicities, different genders, different generations, different socioeconomic backgrounds, Lord, just the diversity that's in this room, we stand together as a people who I just know that you love. And I also know that you're inviting us as your church to engage in your mission, your work of extending your kingdom into the city of Red Bluff. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now and empower every single person in this room, that you would empower them, that you would encourage them, and that you would compel us to go out into our city and to extend that grace and that love and that mercy and that work, that truth, Lord, that reality for those around us. And I pray especially, God, that as this week goes by and as we are hearing people's stories and hearing the false realities that they have bought into, I pray that you would give us the grace and the knowledge and the insight to be able to share the truth of who they are and who you are calling them to be in a loving way. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people who agreed said amen. 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 You guys have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.